Welcome to the program. Welcome to the show. It's the Monday night edition of Free Talk Live, the live call-in talk radio program where you can take control of the airwaves, talk about whatever's on your mind. Our telephone number here in the studio is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
It's Ian.
And nobody.
And we're going to talk about all sorts of fun things today. First, I figured we would mention what seems to be taking over the internet as far as fans of cryptocurrency anyway, and that is that Tesla has purchased $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin and plans to accept Bitcoin for its products.
And this is Bitcoin Legacy.
This says BTC specifically. This is from Bitcoin.com. And that's it says plans to accept BTC for products. I would have to imagine at some point he will expand that, but I don't know.
I would think.
I would guess for something like a Tesla vehicle that, you know, the amount you're going to pay for one of those makes things like the fees sort of, you know, okay, that's reasonable if you're going to spend, you know, $40,000 on up on a vehicle. You know, the network fee, the transaction fees, you know, as high as they get sometimes when Bitcoin's flying at, what is it today, $40,000, $38,000, I think.
It went up to $44,000 today, setting a new record high.
Right, yeah. But it bounced. It came back down. Was that $38,000 this afternoon?
No, I think it's back up to around $43,000,
$44,000. Nice. Right now. Yeah, it's been, I think, $43,000 most of the day.
Which, of course, means that the transaction fees are higher. It's going to cost you more. The network is busier.
Yeah.
It could cost you more. But I would imagine buying something like a Tesla vehicle, you know, a little bit of extra fee for that type of a purchase, is it going to make much of a difference to somebody in that market? But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, play things for the rich don't hurt, but I don't think it was Satoshi's primary concern.
The publicly listed firm Tesla has announced in a Securities and Exchange Commission Form 10-K filing that the company has purchased $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin.
Before we go on with that, though, you mentioned Satoshi's primary concern. Who's Satoshi, and what was his primary concern?
Satoshi is nobody knows who he is except for what he did, which was to create the Bitcoin cryptocurrency, the original,
the BTC
version, Bitcoin 7, if you will, because it can do 7 transactions per second. And
I've never heard that one before. I like that.
That's, yeah, so I don't know what BCH would be then, like Bitcoin 20,000 or something.
Yeah.
So he developed the original Bitcoin. He designed it to bank the unbanked, to give the little guy a chance to play.
Money for the people, yes.
Yes, money for the people,
yes,
is what he designed. And now we have both money for the people and BTC. So that's great. We've got two things.
It wasn't really Satoshi's vision to create a thing that was only for rich people. He wanted, from what I understand, to take the power of money out of the hands of governments and banks and put it into the hands of the people, meaning all people.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And
meaning,
of course,
unbanked.
Governments and banks don't like that idea,
no.
And that may be why a consortium of companies headed by companies like Visa and MasterCard may have derailed the BTC development. But have no fear, there's BCH, there's Dash, there's all kinds of other things.
Literally thousands of other cryptocurrencies have,
I think, 8,000.
Is that the latest count?
That's the latest count that I have.
Yeah.
I have it on good authority. Him.
I'll take both of your words for it.
Groovy.
But when the news broke, the price of the leading crypto asset jumped well over 15%, touching a new all-time price high at $44,899 per coin.
Wow.
That was as of, when was this published this morning? 10 hours ago.
What was that top again?
Almost 45.
Yeah, almost 45. Okay.
44,899.
Nice.
So, I mean, there's not much more to the story other than this is what happened, and of course it caused a big spike. And
didn't Snoop Dogg get behind Dogecoin as well this weekend?
We mentioned it yesterday, and we're calling him Snoop Doge.
Uh-huh.
Wow, all right.
Now, did you come up with that? Or did somebody else?
I don't know. There was three or four of us sitting here in the studio last night.
And, I like it.
One of the guests had mentioned, hey, check it out. And he actually had a meme of Snoop Dogg, but like his face had been replaced by the Doge dog. And so it's kind of like, oh, it's Snoop Doge.
Okay, so somebody else came up with it.
Well, I mean, I said it, but I assume the guy who created the meme was like, dude, I'm going to make Snoop Doge.
Yeah. That's cool. I saw somebody lamenting that fact somewhere on the internet, and I'm like, isn't this what we want to happen? Don't those of us who support cryptocurrency want, like, you know, celebrity types to come on board and start promoting these things?
There have been a couple of people online saying things like, oh, man, I don't know, I think it's time to get out of BTC because, you know, we're getting... you know, celebrities endorsing it now. And I'm like, why is that bad?
Well, there is a certain amount of logic to that in that, you know, a lot of celebrities, I don't know which ones, I'm not privy to that kind of information, but a lot of celebrities are being run by the military industrial banking regulatory media complex, which is not a group of people that in general has our best interests at heart.
Yeah.
They mostly have, like all of government, they mostly have the banker's best interest at heart.
Right, right. I can see that.
I can see questioning BTC. The other thing is, you know, sometimes when the mainstream media sends in their big guns, it's to lead people into a trap, you know, pump and dump of some sort.
Yeah, the other thing is I've had more than three people ping me to ask me, man, how do I get a hold of some Doge?
Mm.
And I'm like, well, you know, you probably missed the boat one, you know? Like, I mean, it's already been pumped. If you buy Doge now, it's, you know, it could go higher, I guess.
Who knows?
But, yeah. I think the pump already happened.
Usually they say buy the rumor, sell the fact. So if you hear about something before it happens, you buy it then, and when it actually happens, that's when you sell.
Right, but so what I'm saying is that I heard the rumor at least a week ago about Doge.
Right.
Right, and so now...
So I'm agreeing with you that generally once the thing has come to pass, like Doge...
If it's in the mainstream media, it's too late.
Snoop Doge.
Right.
Pumping Doge, then that's not when you buy it. You buy it before he pumps it.
Right.
Yeah. By the time it was being reported last week, it had already happened. When the mainstream media was talking about it, it was already in the midst of happening and or had already had the big pump. So you have to somehow hear about it before it gets into the mainstream.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Or act immediately as soon as you hear it, you know, if you're actively monitoring news and that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, if nothing else, if you're among the first to hear the news and you buy at the time you hear the news, then you can, you know, still get advantage from those who FOMO in after you. And the thing is, you just want to know that that's going to be a short pump for you. Most of it is over, and so just get in, get out.
Right. That's my gut feeling, is that, you know, I heard about it a week ago. I should have bought that. I didn't, of course. I should have bought then. And then now that I have people who aren't really, you know, they're sort of casual crypto people asking me, hey, how do I buy Doge? That should mean I should sell now.
And yes, I bought it. Those are the people you sell to.
Yes, indeed. cryptocurrency strategy here on Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160. If you'd like to join our conversation, we've got more about all sorts of fun things coming up. This is Free Talk Live. Welcome back to the program. It is Free Talk Live, the Monday night edition. Our telephone number here is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160 if you'd like to join the conversation. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass.
It's Ian.
And nobody.
And we were talking about this bit from Bitcoin.com, and many other news outlets have also announced the Tesla purchase of $1.5 billion in BTC. And that, of course, has caused not only people but the market to go,
What's the market cap of BTC now?
I'll check for you. Thank you.
I knew Ian would have that.
While you're doing that, I can tell you that Bitcoin.com is the best source for learning about cryptocurrency. You can go there now and click on Get Started at the top of the page. Once you do that, you'll find a cornucopia of information neatly organized by your needs. There's no longer any excuse for ignorance of this important world-changing information.
There's grapes in there, too.
There's grapes?
In the cornucopia.
In the cornucopia? Not just corn?
It's not a cornucopia without grapes.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that. If you are a knowledgeable crypto user, check out news.bitcoin.com, where you can get the latest headlines of all the news relevant to you. Bitcoin.com is your source for buying cryptocurrency, getting a wallet, mining, trading, and all of the latest cryptocurrency news, all in a very slick and easy-to-use website. Visit Bitcoin.com.
All right, so according to CoinGecko.com, right now Bitcoin at a new record high, by the way, 46,800 and change.
Yeehaw!
I mean, I presume it might have been higher than that earlier, I don't know. But that's,
go, gadget Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Still the highest you've seen it.
It's up 20% in the last 24 hours, up 20%. In
wow.
just the last 24 hours. The market cap of Bitcoin right now is $872 billion.
Now, we've talked about...
And change.
We've talked about how that compares to like some of the larger businesses planet Earth.
Yeah.
I wonder where that puts the rank now, because, you know, at one point it was bigger than Facebook or something like that, and that type of a thing.
Yeah, I will pull that list up as well, and we'll find out.
So, you know, we've basically covered the news portion of that announcement, and that's just that, you know, Tesla has decided to jump into the pool with $1.5 billion.
It actually pushes Bitcoin up above Tesla. So Tesla was at number 5 on the list of the 50 largest American companies by market cap. Prior to that, it was above Facebook. Facebook had $763 billion market cap, Tesla an $807 billion market cap. Next to dethrone is Alphabet Incorporated. That's the company that owns Google. They're going to need to double up to get there. The Google's market cap is $1,414 billion.
So if BTC were to theoretically reach, say, $90,000, that might do the trick.
Yeah, as soon as Bitcoin goes past that, it'll be higher than Google.
Nice.
And maybe also higher than Amazon.
I have a slight disdain for Google, and it's really a personal thing because, in my opinion, they just ruined YouTube.
See, for me, the main thing is that any company which adopts the slogan of don't be evil and then decides that that's bad policy and they need to walk it back is not going to be my favorite company.
Yeah.
Also, it looks like the Dogecoin is continuing up. It is actually at nearly 8 cents per Doge right now, and it has had a 125% rise over the last 7 days. So I think what happened was there was an initial push. It fell down again, and now it seems to be pushing back up. And
second
it's actually
win.
Dethroned Bitcoin Cash out of the top 10. So for the first time, I think, in the last, actually the history of Bitcoin Cash, it has fallen out of the top 10 of market cap as far as the various different coins out there.
Wait, because Bitcoin Cash per coin is far higher in value.
There's
than
a
the
lot
Doge.
Of Doge out
it's
there.
It's just that there's more Doge.
There's a great many of those little puppies, and they breed like puppies.
Right now, Doge has nearly $1 billion more market cap than Bitcoin Cash.
Wow.
Yeah. So Bitcoin Cash having a tough time. Also, Dash also being pushed down the list further, almost at number 50, at number 49. So the two primary use crypto as a real life currency coins are just taking it under the chin. I mean, it's not looking good.
I can't imagine that's going to last, though, just because of the use case.
I mean, usually you see Bitcoin rise and then you see the altcoins rise after it.
Right.
So we shall see what happens with that.
Yeah, even Monero's out of the top 20 now.
So top two or three has got to be BTC. Ethereum's got to be up there still.
Ethereum,
right?
is solidly at number two. Yeah.
And what is it at? It was at like 1,600, 1,700.
It's about 1,700 and change.
Which is an all-time high for it as
That's
well.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah, it just crossed 1,000 a little while ago.
Yeah. Well, it's been hovering for, I don't know, a few days a week or something around 1,500, 1,600.
Yeah.
So I was happy to see that when it rose because I got in a long time ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, things are changing.
Yeah. Well, yep. And that's how it goes, right? These technologies come about. You know, there's one that sort of proves it, and then everybody else comes along trying to replicate and have the success that the one has. And this mirrors, and I've said it many times before, the whole advent of Bitcoin mirrors the advent of the search engines, the old search engine wars in the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s.
Hmm.
And so I feel like we're, you know, kind of still in that time. Right. One has sort of led the pack, but we don't know who the top dog is going to be still. It's still a battle.
It's too early.
It's still a race. And so if you haven't gotten into cryptocurrency, I suggest you do now because it is still early, even with all of the publicity that it's getting. It is still early times for this technology. It's only a decade or so old, and a lot of fun can still happen. So.
Yeah, Bitcoin isn't done yet, not at 46,000. I think we've got a lot more to go.
I think so, too.
And I'm not a fan of Bitcoin. I mean, I agree with nobody's critiques that it is not a useful form of cryptocurrency. It is not electronic cash, which is what Satoshi Nakamoto originally intended it to be.
Right.
It has strayed from the founder's vision.
What has it become? Is it the store of value, then?
I think it's a speculator stone. Or a speculator coin. The thing is, what could make it with the value of a crypto and is in its ability to process transactions.
Right.
So if crypto can, or if Bitcoin can process 7 transactions per second, and the next coin can process
700
transactions per second, then you know, any excess value of the 7 transactions over the 700, I think, is illusory.
Yeah,
it's hype.
We'll see how it plays out for certain, and we'll keep you updated, listeners, as things develop. Coming up, we're going to talk about healthcare providers that are legally sexually assaulting patients without their consent. How does that happen? 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Realtor Mark Warda.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing, too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Warden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to Free Talk Live this Monday evening. Our telephone number is 603-283-6160. If you would like to join us in our conversation tonight, In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
It's Ian.
Then the Lego that authority steps on in the night. Nobody.
I hope you at least cause them consternation when they step on you.
Oh, of course. Absolute agony. You ever step on a Lego?
I have. And
that hurts like a bitch.
And I was like, well, hopefully that is the same type of pain the state receives when they step on the man known as the Lego, known as the nobody.
It's true.
I don't know if I said that right, but
that's okay. You don't have to.
Thanks, nobody. I appreciate
Nobody can truly plumb the mystery that is me.
Nobody cares if I pronounce it right or whatever, right?
Nobody does.
All right. We are going to talk about this article that says healthcare providers are sexually assaulting patients. But first, let's go to Bobby, who's calling from Florida tonight. Bobby, you are on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. How you doing? And I love the campy jokes. I'm sorry. And I got a two-tier question. I'll get right to it, guys.
All right.
But I love you and the nobody's back and forth and campy jokes. You guys are always getting me. Even if they're a little cheesy, I still I got to mark out to you guys. Anyways, I got a two-tier question.
Okay, go ahead.
Since the normies are getting involved in Bitcoin, and this question for me also, there's Bitcoin Cash, there's BTV, there's the regular Bitcoin, there's the fork. Now, the one that went up to $43,000, now, which Bitcoin is that? Is that the one with the transaction things and this and that? Or what are people buying that are doing this, you know, that are, like, what did Tesla just buy?
So that would be BTC Bitcoin. The OG Bitcoin, the original inception. It's known as BTC. If you own a wallet or if you go look at sites like CoinGecko to monitor what the prices are doing, BTC are the three letters of that particular coin. Now, BCH is Bitcoin Cash. That's the three letters for that one. And then BSV is Bitcoin Satoshi Vision, which is yet another fork of Bitcoin.
Yeah, they're all fighting, those three at least, over who is the true Bitcoin, the right one true Bitcoin. It's very religious, very silly.
Now, do you guys have what the worth is of the other two or three?
There's a cool website I'd recommend you check out. It's called
The Worth.
Yeah, so I would recommend you check out CoinGecko.com or CoinMarketCap.com. They're two websites that do essentially the same thing. They have a list of the top thousands, I think 8,000 or so cryptocurrencies. Oh, 6,000 on CoinGecko right now. I think CoinMarketCap's got like 8,000 of them. And you can do all kinds of digging and research and learn what prices things are. And
you can
and
sort stuff.
They're here
stuff
seven
and
times as much as we are.
Yeah.
Because we're only here three times, three hours a day, and they're here 24
hours. I had a question for nobody. Nobody, if you're going to trade, if you're trading in it right now, you're trading in OG Bitcoin, correct?
I have some OG Bitcoin. Right now, it's 20% of the church's holdings is in OG Bitcoin.
That makes sense.
Okay. Now, the second tier question, what do you guys think about now that it's in the mainstream? And I even heard some other radio stations like morning shows, you know, that are talking about Bitcoin now and that they've got these Robinhood apps and all this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's really hit mainstream. And these are like shows that aren't libertarian and they haven't been talking about it for 10 years like you guys. They just start jumping on the bandwagon now. Now, what do you guys think about the government involvement? Do you think the government could stop this? Do you think they will try? Is there any way that they could try to stop it? Is there any worries about that in the future?
So they already have tried to stop it and couldn't. They have been continuously trying to stop it, not just the U.S. government, but governments around the world have been trying to stop this technology from even existing, and they can't do it. This technology exists without any permission from any form of authority, and that's what makes it so awesome, is that it exists without permission. So I'll let you guys feel the second part of that.
What was the second part?
He wanted to know, like, you know, what are the risks? You know, what else might government do to try and stop these things from happening?
I would say the risk is you could lose all of your money. That would be the worst case scenario. I don't think that that is likely. I don't think you're going to see cryptocurrencies all simultaneously go down to zero. I don't think there's really any reason that that would happen, but it could happen. That would be the worst case scenario. I guess second worst case would be that they would start arresting and putting people in prison for simply doing business in Bitcoin. But then they would have a really tough legal road to hoe, because basically Bitcoin is freedom of speech. It is something that someone created through writing things down, i.e. coding, and released to the world. And people are essentially saying they value these little, you know, bits and bytes that are being transferred over the internet in a secure manner. So I think they would have a really tough time outlawing it entirely. You're likely to just see them keep piling on regulations onto centralized exchanges, which is the easiest way for them to have what they feel like is some level of control over this uncontrollable cryptocurrency situation. But what do you think, Nobody? What's the worst case?
Yeah, I mean, that does seem pretty accurate as to the worst case is, you know, they could outlaw it completely, in which case, I mean, that would really be showing their weakness if they did that, though, because the bottom line is the only reason for outlawing it would be people don't want their dollars anymore and people don't want their money losing currency. And countries have tried that. Venezuela's tried that. It hasn't really done them any good. So yeah, that's probably the worst that they could do. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'll keep trading around them because I don't care what they say.
Yeah. And the other thing I want to mention is that it truly is a peer to peer currency. Now, BTC, even still with, you know, how it has developed and its transaction limitations, can still be transferred peer-to-peer. In other words, if Nobody and I want to do a transaction, he has something I want to buy, I have some Bitcoin I want to give him in exchange for that, we can do that without the involvement of any other parties.
That was the other question I had. Yeah, if you wanted to buy something or trade or sell, they couldn't really stop that. And even now, if I wanted to buy, you know, something, if a vendor is willing to take the Bitcoin, then I can go ahead and spend my Bitcoin for, you know, a hot dog or a TV, correct?
That is correct. In theory, you could, but the problem you're going to run up against is Bitcoin BTC right now has some fees that are going to make buying a hot dog cost prohibitive.
Unless it's a really expensive hot dog. In order for the fees to be equal to what you pay on a Visa transaction, you would have to make a $300 transaction or something along those lines.
Yeah, there is
that would be a $10 fee.
There is something.
Is there any way they're going to be able to fix that?
They've had years to fix this problem, and they haven't done it yet, so I wouldn't expect them to do it anytime soon. But they could fix it tomorrow if they wanted.
This is the reason that I say that BTC is broken, because you could do the same transaction with BCH for a fraction of a penny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to say, too, Bobby, and thanks for the call, is there is a place where you can go, everybody, the normal people can go, where you can potentially transact in cryptocurrency. And that place is Craigslist. I don't know if you know this, but if you go to Craigslist and you just click on for sale, that everything that's for sale, there's a little box on the left-hand side that says cryptocurrency okay.
Ooh.
And if you check that box, it'll filter out all of the ads on Craigslist where people will accept cryptocurrency for whatever it is they're selling. So
it'll filter them in.
Or filter them in. Yeah, it'll show you only the ads that people are accepting cryptocurrency. So go check that out at Craigslist.org. More Free Talk Live coming up. Yeah, he said. Yeah. He means, yeah, this is Free Talk Live. He means,
yeah.
You should call 603-283-6160 if you want to join us here in the studio and talk about whatever's on your mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
He said, yeah, it's the captain. And yeah.
It's Ian.
And yeah.
And here's Nobody saying money, money.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. What are we doing? Oh, we're doing a radio show. That's right. Sorry, I forget sometimes. Like, why do I have headphones on? What's going on?
Am I recording something?
I'm getting senile in my old age, or old in my senile
That's
age.
That's the best time to do it.
I'm not sure which one.
Who are you again?
I'm the god of hellfire. No, I'm just kidding. I'm the captain.
Oh, hello.
Hey, who are you?
Now what?
Oh, captain, my captain.
The captain, not a captain.
Okay.
I don't know what the difference is, but, you know. Yeah.
But now we know.
Now we know. And knowing's
half the battle.
All right. So I read this article from healthline.com, and I found it very disturbing. And
so you wanted to disturb us.
So,
thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to bring it in and disturb not only you guys, but our listeners as well.
I've been disturbed for years.
This is disturbing in a different kind of way. I know sometimes people will find libertarians and anarchists and voluntarists disturbing, you know, in a sort of a shocking way. Some people, first-time listeners to this show, will think, these guys are shock jocks. They're just saying this to be shocking.
Like, I'm shocked to find out there's gambling going on in here. You're winning, sir. Oh, thank you very much.
I'm shocked and flabbergasted and shocked.
All right, shock me. What do we
got? This is shocking in a different way. Providers are sexually assaulting patients, and it's legal.
Oh, my.
Under any other circumstances, it would be a crime, so why is this the exception? When Ashley Weitz went to the emergency room at a local hospital in Utah in 2007 for severe nausea and vomiting, she was sedated with IV medication to help the vomiting subside. While the medication was intended to bring her relief from her symptoms, what happened while she was under sedation had nothing to do with her illness.
Hmm.
Weitz later woke up screaming when she saw a doctor performing a vaginal exam.
Huh?
She hadn't been told this exam would be done, she wasn't pregnant, and she hadn't consented to an internal examination of any kind. However, what happened to Weitz wasn't an uncommon practice, and in fact, it was legal.
So she was feeling nauseous. She checked herself into the hospital. They doped her up.
That doctor needs retraining because he was at the wrong end.
Yeah.
So it would seem. Now, we talk a lot here in Free Talk Live about consent and what that means, right? Like, oh, yeah, you know, whatever two people decide to do with each other, as long as they have consent, you know, whatever, it's fine. Who am I to, you know, live and let live and all that kind of stuff. This is a clear violation of consent, regardless of the fact that it is legal, and we'll get more into it. In the majority of U.S. states, it is legal for medical providers, typically medical students, to go into an operating room and, without a patient's consent, push two fingers into an anesthetized patient's nether regions and perform a pelvic exam.
It specifically says vagina there.
It does.
Which, you can say we're talking about a medical procedure here.
I understand. I just didn't want to get too, you know. Oftentimes, it's multiple medical students performing this non-consensual exam on the same patient.
Okay, that Kinky. Seems like it would be of minimal medical value after the first time. Why? What is it they're trying to discover?
Well, unlike Weitz, the majority of patients have no knowledge that this has happened to them.
So she just happened to wake up.
She just happened to come out of the grog of anesthesia and be, whoa, what the heck's going on? Right?
Uh-huh.
These non-consensual pelvic exams are a common practice that medical schools and hospitals justify as part of teaching students how to perform them.
Just randomly on somebody that just happens to be under anesthesia.
And has no need for that procedure.
However, they're missing a critical perspective, that of the patient.
Yeah.
I was traumatized by this, Weitz explains. In the United States, sexual assault is defined as any non-consensual sexual act prescribed by federal, tribal, or state law, including when the victim lacks capacity to consent.
Ah, see, it wasn't a sexual act. It was a medical act.
and medical providers that penetrate a patient's genitals without their consent when they're incapacitated under anesthesia, with the exception of a life-threatening medical emergency, are engaging in behavior tantamount to sexual assault. The fact that this is being done as part of a medical student's training doesn't make it any less of a violation. Yeah. No, I'm not suggesting medical students and doctors are predators with sinister intent, but their intent is irrelevant.
But if you happen to be a predator with sinister intent, that might be a good profession for you.
Yeah.
And their intent is irrelevant in the absence of the patient's consent. The very act of penetrating someone's genitals without their permission or knowledge, absent a medical emergency, is criminal. We shouldn't redefine, accept, or minimize this behavior just because it's being done by medical professionals. Actually, just the opposite. We should expect medical providers to adhere to a higher standard.
Well, I mean, if it's such a necessary procedure to learn what that feels like, shouldn't they be volunteering themselves for it? Meaning, shouldn't the other students in the medical class, or the teacher perhaps, go ahead and just volunteer their own genitals for it? I mean, if it's not a problem.
Or they could just hire people. Well, you know,
and
right. People.
My first thought.
So homeless people or whatever.
Yeah, or home full people, whatever kind.
My first thought was, you know, I've taken CPR, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have a fake person.
They have a dummy.
Yeah, Resus Annie, right?
I don't think we're allowed to say dummy. Isn't that politically incorrect?
Are you calling me names on the air? First you call me Shirley. Now you call me dummy. There are products that exist in the world that mimic these particular body parts.
There must be.
Oh, there are. Just ask Cantwell.
Yeah, but whether they're anatomically accurate
I'm
is
just
another
saying
question.
That there
okay,
are
a fleshlight
products
might
that,
not be
you know,
the right tool for this job. But
there's a meme going around the internet about the it looks like just like a hind section of a person, and it's for doctors to get practice on doing the prostate exam.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, they've already made that.
They got that. Okay.
So I don't understand why this practice is even a thing.
Yeah. It's shocking.
In 2012, Dr. Sean Barnes, then a medical student, spoke out and later testified to change the laws in Hawaii about being required to perform pelvic exams on unconscious patients who hadn't given explicit consent.
He's required to. So they're telling the students, you have to go and do this.
Yeah. Barnes highlights how patients signed forms written in vague terms that stated a medical student may be, quote, involved in their care, but didn't tell patients this, quote, care, unquote, included an internal exam while they are under anesthesia.
Right. How many of these people, by the way, when they go into the hospital and they're presented with forms to sign, are actually reading the whole thing?
Oh, yeah. None.
Like, you're dying. Yeah. Here, sign this so we can take care of you. You know, they sign it, right?
It's the same amount that people read the end user license agreements when they, you know, install a piece of software.
And even if I read that, I would expect maybe a medical student would be involved in care that was necessary for me to receive, but I would be completely dumbfounded if they said, yeah, we're just going to have some medical students perform, regardless of the nature of the practice, perform random procedures on you that you don't need to practice.
Yeah.
And then you got to pay for this afterwards. I mean, it'd be one thing if
go on the bill. I would like to know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it'd be one thing if they offered you a discount, right? If they said, "Hey, look, you know, we got the medical students. They're in this weekend. You've come in to get this procedure.
And they're not going to be able to go to a party tonight. They're bummed out. They want to. They want to get some slippery fingers.
We'll knock 50% off your, you know, your bill if you let us do this to you. Then I'd be like, okay.
I don't think they'd get that many takers.
I find it disgusting, and there's a little bit more to talk about on this. More Free Talk Live is coming your way, 603-283-6160.
I find it entertaining, but I always do it with consent.
Look, I'm sorry, but you're in for a world of pain if you use Coinomi. The reason is their wallet doesn't support payments. The solution is simple. Let them hear your voice. message Coinomi on Twitter, it takes 5 seconds, and tell them AnyPay sent you, because they're on the fence right now, and your voice will prove that people care about using Bitcoin for payments. Go tweet at Coinomi now. Or even better, leave a review in the App Store. They really pay attention there. Thanks.
Free Talk Live.
Welcome back to Free Talk Live, the call-in talk radio program where you can take control of the airwaves and talk about whatever's on your mind. The telephone number here in the studio is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's me, your host, the Reverend Captain Kickass, and joining me...
It's Ian.
And nobody.
We've been talking about this article from Healthline.com that is highlighting non-consensual internal exams of medical patients who have not consented to such. These are apparently, according to this article, routinely done to patients who are put under anesthesia, even when the procedure is not necessary for these particular patients.
Well, I'll tell you what, I spent a lot of time taking people to hospitals, taking my wife to hospitals when she was dying of cancer. And if you're going to a hospital or someone you love is going to a hospital, there should be at least two people there. I mean, you and the patient, somebody else and the patient.
Right.
And I guarantee if someone goes to the hospital with me and I go out for a Snickers bar and come back and they're doing that, there's going to be a bloody ass doctor on the floor wishing that he hadn't done what he just did. I guarantee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there should be. This practice is absurd, to say the least.
Yeah.
And the problem apparently is widespread. Two-thirds of medical students in Oklahoma...
that wasn't intended as a pun, was it?
I didn't even say that.
Forget,
Captain,
just go on.
No, Captain
pretend
Context,
it never happened.
Captain
pretend
Context
happened.
Entered the building, and yeah, I see where you're going with that. Yeah.
Oh.
That was the sentence. The problem is
it
widespread.
It had to be said. It just shouldn't have been said. Fair to say.
The article continues. Two-thirds of medical students in Oklahoma reported being asked to perform pelvic exams on patients who hadn't consented. 90% of medical students surveyed in Philadelphia performed this same exam on patients who were put
anesthetized.
Under. Thank you.
Like your tongue.
Not without knowing how many had actually consented. So these students had no idea whether these patients consented or not. And they their instructors were like, "Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Do it. Do the thing."
Well, if you're human, you're supposed to ask these things.
Well, this reminds
me
of
this person consented to this?
Right, this reminds me of the Milgram experiments, right?
Yeah.
Like they got a guy in a lab coat and they go, "Oh, the guy in the lab coat said I should do it. He's an authority. I should just go ahead and do it."
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The article continues. Recently, several medical students around the country reported to the Associated Press that they too had conducted pelvic exams on unconscious patients and didn't know if any of them had actually given consent. Many in the medical community scoff at the idea that this is unethical or could be considered assault, since this has been standard practice for years.
Oh, so if you do it all the time, it's okay.
Yeah, just because it's routine does not make it ethical.
Yeah.
There's also a common...
piss in your eye all the time, you still won't like it.
Right. Oh, but it's routine. We always urinate in the patient's eye.
Yeah.
That's part of our standard operating procedure. There's also a common view in hospitals that if a patient already consented to surgery, and since surgery in and of itself is invasive, then an additional consent for a pelvic exam isn't needed.
Right, because, you know, if I've consented to you, you know, cleaning my ear out, obviously that's all of my orifices, except it's kind of not.
I mean, if you take your car to the mechanic and they go, you need a new alternator replaced, and you go, okay, go ahead, replace the alternator, does that mean that they're also going to replace your muffler?
Yeah. Yeah, we broke your brakes taking them apart. You're going to have to replace some of them. Well, why did you take my brakes apart? I never told you to do that.
Consenting to a medically necessary surgery, however, doesn't mean a patient also consents to a stranger entering the room afterward and inserting their fingers into their vagina.
It's true.
I mean, I can't believe that.
How is that not obvious? I'm sorry, I stole your thought.
You did, but I
stole your words there.
I was having
a
hard time.
Stealing everything from you. I'm bad.
Illiterate. Well, just don't steal my money.
Okay.
Steal my thunder. That's fine.
All right. Do you have any thunder?
Well, you stole it already, so.
Damn.
Steal some back. Next time you get up and go have a smoke or whatever, I'll get some thunder back.
There you go.
Internal pelvic exams, by their very nature, differ from other types of exams done on other body parts. If we accept this standard that the status quo should just remain, especially as it relates to patient care, then unethical practices would never be challenged. Hospitals often rely on the fact that since most patients don't know this exam was performed, they can't do anything about it after. But if this practice is as benign as many medical professionals claim, why not get consent?
Yeah, why not? Why not make it clear? Yeah.
If they don't mind, they don't mind. If they don't consent, they don't consent.
I suspect a fair amount of people would not consent to this particular procedure.
I suspect the majority of them would not consent. I would not consent, and I'm a dude.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't consent to the male analog of that.
No.
Or, you know, them making a new orifice because I didn't have one, you know, where they were.
Or any existing one, really.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
It's really a matter of convenience. Hospitals seem to worry that if they have to get consent, then patients will decline, forcing them to change their practices.
You think? Mm-hmm.
Derp! I derp. I believe the medical industry has gone full derp.
Yeah.
Paul Tsai, a Denver-based physician who writes about healthcare policy, reports that deliberately choosing not to ask due to fear of a no answer and instead performing the procedure anyways violates the very concept of consent, patient autonomy, and individual rights.
Basically the definition of a rape, I mean, right there. It's like, well, I think she would say yes, but you know what? I'm not going to ask just because she might
say
no. She's
sleeping so nicely, I wouldn't want to wake her. Yeah. Good God.
Hey, let's bring
What's
in
the matter with these
let's
people.
Bring in 10 or 12 medical students. Right.
Right. Oh, now it's not rape because there's somebody witnessing it.
Now it's gang rape.
That's right. Right. 12 people just participated in this.
Oh, wait. No, we've just described democracy.
Hey, oof. Exactly. That meant the majority consented.
Right.
You know.
Some medical providers also claim that when a patient comes to a teaching hospital, they're giving implicit consent. That the patient is somehow supposed to just know that medical students can perform internal exams on them. This convenient excuse.
I mean, how far can that go? Can they just yank out your appendix? I mean, I've never taken out an appendix before. This guy looks ripe. You know, can they just do that?
He's asleep. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to say no. He doesn't mind.
And, you know, if this story were written about, you know, I don't know, some third world country that's just getting their, like, first hospital or something, you know, like, everybody seems to always have this, like, oh, it's over there mentality to some of these stories. But no, this isn't. This isn't that. This is not only a practice that has been considered normal, but it is widespread, probably not just here in the U.S., but probably in medical practices around the globe.
I don't know. I would be very curious to find out if this was done around the globe. And it sounds like this is something that was just when the U.S. was a third world country getting its first hospital, they started doing this. And nobody ever said, you know, is that a good idea, you know? But there's a lot of things that were common practice. It was common practice to have slaves entering bed, emptying bedpans. I don't think anybody would say that that would be ethical today.
Excuses aside, the fact remains we need to stop pretending that medical trauma is an inconsequential form of trauma. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
Show them some medical trauma.
Indeed. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Thank you for tuning in this evening. It is the Monday night edition of Free Talk Live. Our telephone number here in the studio is 603-283-6160, should you wish to join us in this conversation. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Hey, it's Ian.
And nobody.
We've been talking about this article from Healthline.com about internal medical exams performed on people without their consent that appear to be a matter of routine standard operation for many medical facilities in the U.S.
Wow. And elsewhere. And people, the amazing thing is people still trust the medical profession somehow. Even after all of the horrible things that they do.
Well, and,
I mean, and medical then, malpractice has killed more people than COVID easily.
And then there's people who go, we want government to be the healthcare provider. Can you imagine?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, let's just multiply the horror stories by like tenfold.
Yeah. I always, every once in a while, I run across a guy who's black and he's arguing for, you know, single-payer medical care. And I'm like, do you think that the medical care that black folks get under single-payer would be as good as the law enforcement services that they get single-payer law enforcement? Because that doesn't seem to be working out too well for y'all. And I would advise you not to go back to that same company for any product. Because they're not doing a good job.
The article continues. Patients who do find out post-op that a pelvic exam was done without their consent report feeling violated and experience significant trauma as a result.
Wow.
Huh, go figure.
I'm shocked.
Sarah Gundel, a clinical psychologist and clinical director of Octave in New York City, says that medical trauma can be just as significant as other types of trauma. A non-consensual pelvic exam is a violation just like any other type of violation, she says. In some ways, it's even more insidious because it is often being done without the patient even knowing, in a place that is supposed to protect patients. Melanie Bell, a board member for the Maryland Nurses Association, also reported during a legislative committee hearing that there are also times when patients have awakened during these exams, like what happened to whites, and felt violated. Compounding this type of violation is that this practice isn't only unethical, but when it's done by medical students, it's almost always medically unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they're just training these students, and they're like, well, this is what it would be like to...
There's no medical history taken, one would imagine, since they're not talking about that procedure. They're not going to say, oh, have you got, do you have trauma in your past that's going to make this, you know,
more difficult,
even more horrific for you than it would be for the average person?
Furthermore, these exams are overwhelmingly performed for the student's benefit and provide no medical benefit to the patient. Now, that should be your first clue, medical industry, that if you're doing a thing to a patient that's unconscious and it has no medical benefit to that patient, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I can understand, like, if they were like,
maybe we should teach classes in medical ethics because we seem to be better at it than the people who are doing it now.
Does this article actually talk to anyone on the pro side of this? Because it just sort of makes the statement that this is a thing, this has happened for a long time, and it's, you know, medically common, but it doesn't really, there's not really anybody going to bat for this, is there?
I'd like to know the names and the phone numbers of the people who support this, because I'd like to call them up and discuss it with them.
I can't say off the top of my head because I read this, you know.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I mean, it seems like, I'm not going to say it's bad for being one-sided, but it does seem to be a little one-sided. Like, what would the person who was leading this class have to say for themselves? Is all they would have is, well, we've always done it this way. I mean, what's their best claim? Oh, well, they signed this vague statement. I mean, what is their best argument here?
And if nobody's willing to go on record saying, I order this, I order all of my medical students to do this, then that's a pretty good sign that they know they're doing wrong, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know? Because I would be very surprised if anybody would publicly support this. I mean, I would guess that they couldn't find anybody to support it on the record because nobody was willing to. Who would?
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't. I mean, it's clearly a violation of the non-aggression principle. It's clearly a violation of consent. Dr. Phoebe Friedson, a medical ethicist who has extensively studied this issue and authored a recent landmark paper on it, says the perspective of the patient is missing. Mm. Medical schools see this as an opportunity to teach the student, but the bodily autonomy and rights of the patient can't be dismissed.
Didn't they swear something about something do no harm to be a doctor?
Yeah, they have.
Haven't done that yet. They're still medical students, is the thing.
Oh, right, yeah, because they don't swear it until they
don't
become
do any
a thing.
Harm
right.
anymore once you become a full-fledged doctor.
You can't swear the oath until graduation.
Yeah, get the harm out of the way while you're still a student.
Countries and states that have banned this practice have not been limited in their ability to effectively train medical students.
Right.
There are other ways to teach that do not require a pelvic exam being performed on a patient that has not given consent and often doesn't even know what has happened while they were under anesthesia. Some hospitals, such as NYU Langone in New York City, report using paid pelvic exam volunteers.
There you go.
Idea that you guys had.
Right. Call up the sex workers and say, hey, you know, we're paying $100 an hour. Come on down. Or whatever.
Yep. To practice the exams on eliminating the issue of exams without consent. So, yeah, there's perfectly legitimate ways to accomplish the goal.
Yeah.
Why this is even a thing, is confounding to me. I don't understand it. Performing pelvic exams without consent is illegal in Hawaii, Virginia, Oregon, California, Iowa, Illinois, Utah, and Maryland.
Huh.
Legislation prohibiting this recently passed the New York legislature and is pending in other states, including Minnesota and Massachusetts. While this practice is most common with pelvic exams, many of these bills also ban non-consensual rectal and prostate exams being done on anesthetized patients as well. So that sounds like it sounds like there are non-consensual rectal and prostate exams being performed.
Yeah, that's what it sounds
in
like.
In the same way that without consent. So
see, I wonder if this was just something that happened to women. I don't know.
Apparently not.
I don't know if I feel better or worse knowing it happens to everybody. But
if you've got a hole, they're going to be prodding it. Apparently.
Yeah. Well, good luck. Good luck to them. If I brought somebody.
603-283-6160.
Some doctor's going to be here, and if this hadn't happened to you in an emergency room, you'd be screwed.
What if the United States and the Soviet Union had fought on land, sea, air, and the astral plane, struggled for dominion across parallel dimensions, or on the surface of the moon? What wonders would have been unveiled? What terrors would have haunted mankind from those dark and dismal dimensions? Come closer, peer through a glass darkly, and discover the horrifying alternative visions of World War III from some of today's greatest minds in science fiction, fantasy, and horror. Weird World War III. Available now from Bain Books at BainBooks.com.
Yes, it is Free Talk Live. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Our telephone number in the studio here is 603-283-6160 if you'd like to join us in conversation. Again, 603-283-6160. We'll get to your calls and thoughts momentarily. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me,
it's Ian.
Nobody.
Nice. And I wanted to tell you that AnyPay 2.0 is here, and crypto payments are now faster than ever. If you're using Edge Wallet, Handcash, Bitcoin.com, or Dash Wallet, your experience should be smooth, but some wallets aren't ready for this impressive new technology. These wallet programmers need to hear from you, the wallet users. Visit AnyPayInc.com/upgrade to learn why some popular wallets are incompatible with AnyPay 2.0, and reach out to the wallet programmers to encourage them to make payments perfect at AnyPayInc.com/upgrade.
With two D's.
Upgrade. we'll go to your calls and thoughts. I just wanted to finish off the last couple thoughts here on this article. There are some legislators apparently speaking out on this topic of non-consensual pelvic exams, rectal exams, and other
wrecked
sorts
them
of
hell, damn near killed them.
Yeah. And it's not just legislators that are speaking out. The American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, ACOG, has denounced this practice, stating pelvic exams with anesthetized patients that are performed for teaching purposes should only be done with informed consent. Some medical schools...
And that goes for every other procedure as well, guys. Just in case you weren't aware, it's like you shouldn't be doing anything to us that we didn't agree to pay you for. If you want to do something unnecessary, then you've got to pay us.
Yeah, I hate to be Captain Obvious here, but I mean, you would think...
You are the captain.
You would think that that would go without having to be stated, but no. We've got to wait for people to be non-consensually examined for this to come to light. When speaking of her own traumatic experience, White said, "When the medical community does not value a patient's bodily autonomy, it has a very negative impact on patient care. Consent should be fundamental in medicine, but exams like these undermine the very premise of doing no harm, thank you, Ian, to patients that medical providers have sworn to heal. And if consent is deemed optional in medical care, then where is the line drawn?"
Hmm. So. It certainly would damage my level of patient care, because as a patient, if I found out you were doing that, I wouldn't care if you were eaten by lions.
Agreed. Or tigers or bears. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Let's go to CW, who's calling in from Arizona. CW, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, howdy, Mr. Captain Obvious Kickass, Mr. Nobody, and Mr. Ian.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
What's up?
I just want to say, one of our local radio hosts that is in the K-Talks station, he frequently goes to some of the hospitals because they try to scaremonger us and say that cases are rising and this and that and we're flooded. Mm-hmm. But you know what? He goes in there and they freak out and they say, "Why are they even saying that? We have no, we're not full, we're not this, we're not that." So it's just ridiculous.
So hold on, just to clarify, and the hospital's claiming they're full, but then they say they're not full when he shows up?
The media. I think the media or the city council or whoever, because we have a doctor that's on our city council, and they want to close everything down. They want us to have masks. They want us shut down. But they say, "Oh, cases, and this and that. We're overrun." But when he goes to local hospitals, there's no one there. No one. It's not overrun. There's not even
nurses doing TikTok videos?
It's just crazy.
Laid them all
didn't
they?
They're trying to fearmonger us, but we're not. Oh, yeah. We're not having it.
I'm curious, CW. This radio host or hosts, when they go and they go to these hospitals, do they take videos while they're there? Is it all audio? What's the details there?
I I think he just does it on his own time. Because he goes there in the afternoons and just asks some questions, like the receptionist, and they say, "Oh, what are you talking about? You're crazy." If they say that, no, nothing, none of that crap's happening.
So all do they not watch the news? Do they not know that these things are being said?
I don't know. I think they're just trying to fearmonger us. But
I hope you tell your friends
to make us scared. We have signs up. We have billboards saying "mask up," this and that. But you know what? Majority of us in this area, where I'm at in Mojave County, a lot of us don't wear masks. I see some people they do, but a lot of us we just do our thing, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Nice. And
the hospitals
aren't
overwhelmed. You know, it's just ridiculous. And I'm glad our radio host does go in there and actually gets the information and sees what's going on.
Hey, he's going and doing his own reporting. He's not just relying on the mainstream media to tell him the truth, because they're not.
Well, if he wants to take a video of this, I will do my best to help him promote it.
Indeed.
Oh, man. I'll see if he can get a GoPro, because he needs to... see, that's the thing. You got to protect the identity of the person, so he might have to blake their face out, huh?
He should know the legality of that, or he could talk to somebody who does, I'm sure. I don't want to give legal advice over the air.
Yeah, but I'm just tired. I'm just tired of them trying to scare us to death, you know? I'm not going to be scared to death, and I think 90% of the people that are in Mojave County aren't scared. And our city council, luckily, we only have a couple dummies that are in city council, and they always get rejected. We don't have our dumb mask mandate.
Yeah, you're very
usually
lucky.
City councils are full of dummies.
Yeah. So, but you know, we have a couple that are, we have a majority that are good. So.
Well, I'm glad you're not falling for the propaganda, CW, and thank you for the call today.
Indeed.
Because too many people are. And it's going to take a lot more than, you know, CW and his county and us here in New Hampshire and maybe the folks in Florida until this thing is over. It is up to all of us to not be taken in by the fear-mongering that the government is pushing via the mainstream media, to be afraid that they can institute more demands and more laws.
And there's more to it than not being taken in, because the other thing is standing up for the truth. If you don't believe it, don't put on the costume, please.
Right, you're just making
because
things worse.
They use the costume to create the illusion that there's something going on that's untoward. Right. And I'm not seeing it. I just saw week-over-week death certificates from England yesterday, and they show that deaths are exactly what you would expect them to be normally. They were out of line for a few weeks in like April,
right?
And now they're not, and they haven't been for many months,
right? And we've seen similar data for the United States as well. Yeah. That shows that same thing. There's a bit of a spike, and then things are still within normal parameters.
Well, supposedly the number of deaths were up like 10% or something like that in 2020, so it was up. Right.
Maybe,
but I don't care.
Not in England, according to the statistics I saw. But
I was talking about the U.S.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Everybody collects their own statistics.
But we're also at the point in time where we've got the boomers dying off.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, that was a large boom in the population. So
did they have a similar boom in Great Britain?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But either way, I'm not going to say that the boomers dying off all of a sudden would cause a 10% jump in deaths. But I'm also going to say I don't care about the 10% jump in deaths, because it's not really a concern for me. And it shouldn't be a concern for most people, because most people who are healthy are not at risk from dying from this.
Yeah, and a 10% variance in death really isn't that significant statistically.
Well, particularly from something you've got a 99% chance of recovering from.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not unusual for it to vary by 10%.
More Free Talk Live is on the way. The 10 numerical digits that you need if you'd like to join the conversation in the studio here at Free Talk Live are 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160 is the number here in the studio if you would like to join the conversation. And I'm hosting the show. I am the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me,
it's Ian.
I am nobody.
Yes, indeed. So we were talking about a very shocking article regarding non-consensual examinations of multiple orifice.
Orifice.
Isn't that the plural of orifice?
Orifice? I think it would be. Yes. Although that would mean that penises would actually be peni.
Peanut. Well, I mean, yeah, who knows? And since we're on the topic of healthcare, I found this to be disturbing. This from courthousenews.com. The Pentagon will send troops to mass vaccination sites here in the U.S.
Like Massachusetts?
No.
So the Biden administration health officials announced that the Department of Defense would deploy troops to two vaccination sites in California in the next 10 days, with other sites in other states soon to follow.
Yeah, I'd heard that they were doing five different federal vaccination sites. This was a story I saw last week about that.
Now,
why do they need trained killers to give vaccinations?
Thank you for asking the exact same question that I had when I read this. I'm like, what part do soldiers have in providing health care to the American public?
Well, they may not be actually giving the vaccinations. They may be, you know, providing
preventing support. People from getting away.
That may be a factor, but okay. You know, they could just be carrying boxes for all we know, right?
Why can't they
coffins?
Just hire temps for that? Why has it got to be soldiers?
It's hard to find people willing to work. I mean, I'm not defending this, but it's...
Soldiers, man. We don't... I mean...
The thing is, soldiers are way more expensive than temps. So if you think it's hard to get people to work, think how hard it is to get people to join the army. They have to make a certain amount of money for that to happen.
I don't think they're more expensive than temps. I mean, they're already being paid, so it doesn't matter where they are and what they're doing. They're already going to be paid. So they are just being assigned to a
different thing. But if they're getting paid for nothing, then maybe they should stop paying them, send them home, and use like 60% of that money to hire temps. Because you don't need... It's expensive to maintain a group of paid killers. And that's not meant as a slur, because that's exactly what they say in basic training,
right?
Is we are professional killers.
Yeah.
Not the people I want administering my medical care, because, you know, I prefer the do no harm thing to,
yeah.
You know, normally we do harm, but, you know, today we're going to just give you pelvic exams or something.
I'm of the opinion that soldiers should have nothing to do even remotely with anything that resembles health care.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I got to go with you there.
If I go to the doctor's office for my routine examination, I don't expect to see military personnel stationed out front.
As a matter of fact, well, I would probably reschedule if I did.
As a matter of fact, I think I would just drive right on by.
You know, because people who have my best interests at heart don't really need to have the military there to do it, you know?
Welcome to the new normal.
Health officials.
I didn't like the old normal. I don't give a damn about the new normal. My new abnormal is just like the old abnormal. So if you don't like the new normal, come check out my old abnormal.
Health officials from the Biden administration announced in a press conference Friday that the Pentagon will deploy troops to help Americans get COVID-19 vaccines.
To help them get vaccines.
Coronavirus.
Like walk the old ladies across the street to do the.
Yeah, or like hold you down in case you have second thoughts. Or
first thoughts. or just thoughts at any all. Thoughts of your own.
Mm.
Coronavirus senior advisor Andy Slavitt said that Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin.
Yes. The virus has advisors?
The virus has advisors.
Why don't we find out who's advising the viruses and arrest them?
For sure.
I mean, unless they're like double agents, they're advising the viruses to do foolish things.
Well,
anyway, go ahead.
Andy Slavitt, said that Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin approved a request from the Federal Emergency Management Agency to expedite assistance. He's ordered the first contingent of more than 1,000 active duty military personnel to support state vaccination sites, Slavitt said. Part of this group will arrive in California in the next 10 days to begin operations there around February 15th.
There's a kid walking up to the hospital. He's got something. He's got something in a bundle at his belly. Shoot him. Mm. These are people, what, fresh out of Iraq?
Yeah, you good know, question. Where are they coming from? Are these the guys that got called back from Afghanistan?
So, you know, my first thought is, well, okay, couldn't, if you're going to use something that resembles military, what about the National Guard, right? Aren't they supposed to be like the domestic, right, folks, right? The National Guard, they're supposed to be the ones.
Well, the militia is really the group that would be cut out for, because National Guard is still select militia. There should only be enough of those
to train
the militia in case of wartime.
In this particular situation, if I'm thinking like a statist and acting like a statist.
Well, then stop doing that. You shouldn't think like a statist, and you certainly shouldn't act like a statist.
But shouldn't they, rather than send 1,000 active military personnel, active duty military personnel, shouldn't this be like, hey, you know what, California, call up some of your National Guardsmen and help them, you know, put together these the vaccination sites or something like that? Why
Maybe
does it have to be
battle hardened veterans for this?
And that's the scary
part.
That
would
beg
the question,
do they feel that?
Why?
Exactly. Why do they feel that they need 1,000 active duty military personnel to support state vaccination sites?
Yeah, I mean,
why isn't this
no
something
one's asking that question
that police
they
can do?
Just train up a bunch. I mean, you can train a Navy corpsman in 90 days. You know, what would it take to train up somebody to work in a vaccination center? You know, all you do is stick the needle in over and over and over again.
Well, phlebotomy training, I think, is like 4 hours or something.
I love
that.
That word.
I mean, it's not a. It's not a
phlebotomy. Can you say that on the radio?
I just did.
I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal phlebotomy.
Yeah, that would be a brain hemorrhage, wouldn't it?
Frontal phlebotomy?
Yeah, phlebotomy is drawing blood.
That's correct.
Yeah. So yeah, if they're drawing blood from your frontal lobe, that's a brain hemorrhage.
Oh.
That's usually not where they do it.
Brilliant deduction, Watson.
It's true. It's true. They almost never give you a frontal phlebotomy.
These troops will head to 2 mass vaccination sites announced Wednesday by California Governor Gavin Newsom, catering to urban areas that have been particularly devastated by the pandemic. Newsom's mass vaccination site announcement followed President Joe Biden's push to set up 100 mass vaccination centers around the country this month.
I don't know. I'm not buying the claim that there are any areas that have been devastated by the pandemic.
Right.
I don't think that's true.
Don't you think we'd be getting like infuriated calls from people saying, oh my God, 22 people on my street died. What are you talking about? We don't get any of those calls. So maybe we're shadow banned. Maybe we're not really on the radio, but if we're really on the radio and there's really a country devastated out there, why haven't they called up and mentioned it?
You would think.
The only devastation going on is because of government regulations and governor's orders that are devastating the economy. So certainly I can believe that urban areas have been devastated economically by the government ridiculous rules that have been shoved down these poor business owners' throats and have resulted in all kinds of people losing their jobs. But I don't think that the troops can help that.
A 10% increase in the normal number of deaths is not going to be noticed. Normally, 30 people die in your town. This year, 33 died. Do you notice?
603-283-6160 is the number if you'd like to join the conversation. More Free Talk Live is on the way.
Bitcoin.com is the best source for learning about cryptocurrency. Go there now, click on Get Started at the top of the page. Once you do that, you'll find a cornucopia of information, neatly organized for your needs. If you're a knowledgeable crypto user, check out news.bitcoin.com where you can get the latest headlines. Bitcoin.com is your source for buying cryptocurrency, getting a wallet app, mining, trading, and all the latest cryptocurrency news, all on a slick and easy-to-use website. All put together by the best minds in the business to teach you about cryptocurrency. Bitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live.
Yes, it's Free Talk Live. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for tuning in and listening to our program. The telephone number here is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160 if you'd like to join the conversation. In the studio tonight, I am your host, the Dr. Lord Reverend Captain Kickass, and joining me
it's Ian.
And I am nobody. Hear me roar.
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 So I want to take a minute and just say thank you to Derek. Derek is a platinum level amplifier, which means he contributes
$25 a month, at least.
At least 25 bucks a month to help get this radio program that you're listening to onto more radio stations. We're currently on 190. We could be on 200, 250, 300 even. It's all up to you. You can find out more over at amp.freetalklive.com. And there's some perks if you do sign it. We only ask for $5 a month, but there's different levels, and you get different perks if you give a little more than, you know, the minimum and that kind of a thing.
We could be on 5 million radio stations if we could figure out how to broadcast to people's fillings.
That's good. That's good. And give new meaning to the word amplifier.
It's true.
So you can find out more over at amp.freetalklive.com. Thank you again, Derek, for your platinum-level contribution. We appreciate you. We've been talking about this article from courthousenow.com that says Pentagon will send troops to mass vaccination sites, meaning active duty, over 1,000 active duty soldiers will be sent to two different sites in California and more, up to 100 sites around the country.
Does it say how many of these are MDs or medics? Are they like setting up a MASH unit there?
It just says that Biden made this happen and the department of FEMA is going along with it. And he's ordered the first contingent to support state vaccination sites.
Yeah, and FEMA's all up in the mix.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, I always thought when Alex Jones, and I hate to bring up Alex Jones because I've always thought that Alex Jones was crazy, and he's made me eat my words a few times. Like, you know, I thought he was crazy when he said there was a billionaire pedophile flying around on private airplanes with Bill Clinton, but then Epstein didn't kill himself, and it was like, oh my God, he was right.
Right.
And I always thought he was crazy to talk about the ominous possibilities of FEMA and their plastic coffins.
But right.
Here they are, right in the mix, trying to, I don't know why they're mixing it up with the military. That's not the personnel they need.
Yeah, this guy, Slavitt, noted Friday that additional vaccination missions will soon follow and that the Department of Defense will hold its own press conference about the effort later Friday.
Now, if this is an active duty corps of nurses, I'll take it all back. if they're sending military nurses. I don't think they are.
It says 1,000 active duty military personnel. It doesn't say active duty military nurses, active military medical professional. You know, it doesn't say that.
None of the things that would make me say, oh, maybe this isn't insane. None of those things are there.
Doesn't seem to be.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, of course it's insane. The whole thing is insane. I mean, this is just the next detail on mass vaccination sites. I mean, we've spent all this time talking about, well, should it be the military or the National Guard? Or and you didn't mean that it, either of those things should be the case.
No, not at all.
But ultimately, the problem is mass vaccination sites, not the fact that the military is being sent to them. That's just a detail.
Well, it's a detail, but it's kind of an important detail, because when you're a hammer, all problems
are a nail.
Look like a nail.
No doubt.
And
no doubt.
When you're a killer, all problems look like things that are alive and shouldn't be.
Slavitz also made note of three ways the Biden administration is working to utilize the Defense Production Act to increase supply of vaccinations, to scale production of at-home COVID-19 tests, and to reduce the U.S.'s long-term dependence on foreign production of personal protective equipment supplies.
Oh, great. So they're nationalizing an industry already. Isn't that special?
But wait, there's more. Tim Manning, National Supply Chain Coordinator.
Also get a free, all-expenses-paid trip to the gulag.
Tim Manning, the National Supply Chain Coordinator for Biden's COVID-19 response team, said at the conference that the first action gives Pfizer a priority rating so that it can procure needed equipment like filling pumps and tangential flow filtration skid units to ramp up vaccine production. It's actions like these that will allow Pfizer to ramp up production and hit their targets of delivering hundreds of millions of doses over the coming months.
I'd really like to find out what those two devices are and whether they're even commonly used in the production of vaccines. Right,
Haven't they already had trouble getting rid of the doses that they have?
Right. We did a couple of stories on how they couldn't get rid of the doses fast enough, that they were sitting around and they were trying to figure out ways to, like, distribute them better and get them out to, because, like, there weren't enough people going, hey, maybe, I want the vaccine. Well,
maybe that's what they need the military for, because, you know, there are some medical studies that show that people are more likely to accept vaccination if you put a gun to their head.
It sounds like a scientific study.
Yes.
He noted that the U.S. has increased its vaccine supplies and is providing to states by more than 20% since January. Manning also announced that the federal government is working with six additional companies, in addition to the $230 million contract with Ellume USA, it announced Monday, to surge the manufacturing of at-home test kits. He said
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
He said, they're really handing it out. I thought the corporate welfare from the corporate welfare bill was big corporate welfare, but this was how much to one company?
$230 million.
Oh, my God.
For manufacturing at-home COVID-19 test kits. He said 61 million tests could be available by the end of summer.
And they can be 50% accurate.
Yeah, or not accurate at all.
Problem is, 50% accurate means completely meaningless, because you're as likely to get a wrong reading as a right reading.
Quote, the rapid at-home tests will allow us all to get back to normal activities like work and school, Manning said, noting that new plants and production lines will be established in the U.S. to reduce vulnerabilities to disruptions in the supply chain.
How would that exactly allow people to get back to normal?
People are taking tests all the time, and they're not getting back to normal. They're still treated like sick prisoners.
It's one of the most preposterous sentences I may have ever read here on Free Talk Live.
Every single time we see a news story about this new vaccine's going to come out or this new thing or whatever, then the next story is always, well, even though you get the vaccine, you're still going to have to socially distance. You're still going to have to wear a mask. Yeah. So how is it having an at-home test is going to all of a sudden change any of that?
None of this makes any logical sense to me. I don't understand what the purpose of ramping up at home. There's more to this, too. There's some other things that they're doing, and we'll get to that, in fact, right now. Lastly, he said the Biden administration focused on increasing domestic manufacturing of personal protective equipment. There's a great need for masks, shields, and gloves, and we currently aren't producing these at the rate we need to keep up with demand, Manning said. While the U.S. is working,
that's why we need to put the government in charge.
While the U.S. is working to increase N95 mask production, Manning noted that it's also planning to ramp up its production of surgical gloves for healthcare workers, as the country has for the last year been nearly 100% reliant on foreign exports.
So they can be sure to keep doing their involuntary pelvic exams while properly gloved.
The U.S. will build...
Just stopping those would save a lot of surgical gloves, it sounds like.
The U.S. will build plants to make raw materials, nitrile rubber, as well as the gloves themselves in the country, he said. By the end of the year, we'll produce more than 1 billion nitrile gloves per month.
Sure.
Interesting. That's exactly what fascists generally try to do, is move all of the industries home in preparation for going to war.
Bingo. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is on the way. Is the telephone number here in the studio of Free Talk Live. We'll get to your calls and thoughts momentarily. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the captain.
It's Ian.
And nobody.
We've been talking about this article from CourthouseNews.com that started out talking about using active military personnel for unexplained reasons to support state vaccination sites.
Well, luckily, it couldn't possibly have gotten creepier after that.
Well, and then it did.
Did it?
It went on to talk about how it appears the administration is attempting to nationalize the production of certain personal protective equipment, including masks and surgical gloves.
Wow.
Now, are they actually taking over the industry, or are they going to build their own government manufacturing facilities?
It's pretty vague. It says the U.S. will build plants to make raw materials, nitrile rubber, as well as the gloves themselves in the country. By the end of the year, we'll produce more than 1 billion nitrile gloves per month.
Wow.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's...
At the risk of sounding paranoid, I really wonder what they're really going to make in those plants.
Yeah, I really couldn't tell you. Anthony Fauci said the nation's top infectious...
They haven't even made an issue of gloves. They've been whining about masks all this time.
Right, yeah.
When did gloves become an issue?
I don't know. And before the mask mandates and all that came around... early in the COVID process, I was looking at real estate to purchase. And so since this whole thing was new, nobody really knew what to do. It created some confusion.
Nobody always knows what to do.
Yes, that's correct. But sometimes nobody doesn't know what to do.
It's true.
Yes. But at any rate, so we were wearing nitrile gloves when going and looking at real estate. Right. You know, if folks were home or whatever, because they didn't want COVID to be spread, everybody just had to wear gloves. And I figured that would be the personal protective equipment, PPE, that would sort of go in demand. But no, it wasn't, because they just stopped talking about wearing gloves. They stopped talking about washing your hands frequently. Right. They stopped talking about all that and they went straight for the masks.
And touching your eyes, wasn't touching your eyes supposed to be a big deal at the beginning of the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they just, there's so many plot holes. It's like these guys have all of Hollywood writing for them, and this is the best they could do?
Well, you see, Biden has been criticized because he's been allegedly pro-China, right? That's what they say. That's what the people on the right say about him. So uh-huh. here he is. He's building.
Well, he's pro-communist. I don't know if he likes China.
Well, he's proving that he's pro-America here. He's going to build some manufacturing plants. He's saying, we don't trust these Chinese gloves. There's plenty of gloves coming out of China, but no, no, we've got to have U.S. manufactured gloves made here in the United States. See, they're serious about this, so they're going to put government taxpayer money behind it, and what sounds like build a government-run glove manufacturing plant. That's going to go
My
great.
My guess is that they're going to end up parting this out to somebody else and just saying that the cronies who get the job just have to build their factories in America.
You know,
that's my guess.
You know how crappy those gloves are going to be, right?
Because they're government made? Yeah, I wouldn't trust those things.
I've had government cheese, and, well, it's nothing to write home about.
I had GI Compassion one time. It really sucked.
But, yeah, I mean, it's not clear.
I was in jail for a year.
Nobody may be correct that this may be, you know, a good old boys club thing, and, you know, some company will get the exclusive deal, and this won't be an actual government-run plant. It'll just be a government-funded, privately-run plant, like a private prison.
Yeah. Oh, maybe they'll use prison labor. Maybe they'll use camp labor from
the new COVID camps.
From the new COVID camps.
Right. Well, Camp COVID coming soon.
I would have said Alex Jones was crazy 10 years ago if he'd predicted that, but a lot can change in 10 years.
Including,
you know,
Alex Jones, who's now in favor of police states.
Yeah, well, screw Alex Jones, but some of the things he said were true.
Let's go to your calls and thoughts. We have the anarcho-Republican calling. You are on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I know that nobody's a fan of George Orwell, but I wonder if he's a fan of Kurt Vonnegut as well.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, absolutely. Especially, he wrote the one where everybody had to be equal. So, like, if somebody was born especially beautiful, they had to wear a mask and cover it up.
Yeah. Yeah, the ballerina had to wear the weights.
Yes.
But the one I'm thinking of is because you said you'd take some army nurses. And I said, well, you'd take the shot from army nurses and then ended up in the plastic coffin. But do you know the Kurt Vonnegut story, Welcome to the Monkey House?
I don't remember that one, bro. I may have to read that.
That's the one where the population gets out of control, so they outlaw sex.
Oh, wow.
And what they do is they have these temptresses that run these suicide clinics. And what they do is they kind of sexually tempt you into taking the suicide shot. So when you said you'd take some army nurses, I said, man, I got to talk to this guy. I got to straighten him out. You got to read that short story before you take the shot.
I mean, if they try to kill me with army nurses, you know, past performance is not necessarily a picture an indicator of future performance, but it's going to take a lot of army nurses to kill me,
the funny part of the story is because these guys would get right next to taking the shot and then they back off. They come back for another tea session. That's how the story goes. But anyway, so the other question I have is for Ian. And I know Ian believes in the independence of the state of New Hampshire, but isn't he worried that maybe the People's Republic of Vermont, New York, and Maine may decide to invade?
We can take them.
I think those states in particular would be stark raving mad with their disarmed, helpless populations to try to invade New Hampshire of all places, which will not only be one of the best start out as one of the best armed states in the country, but will also end up being home, if there is a boogaloo, to half of the world's ANCAPs and a recreational McNukes. So, this is exactly the last place you want to invade after.
You answered that way better than I could have. Thank you.
Did you want to comment, Ian?
No.
Montana doesn't come far from that, believe you me.
Oh, yeah, no, Montana's well-armed.
But anyway, fellas, hey, it's good talking to you. Have a nice evening.
Appreciate
it. Good talking to you, too, sir.
Yeah, I've been in New Hampshire for close to 2 years now, I guess, or it will be 2 years in, I don't know, June or something. And I have only seen the tip of the iceberg, but New Hampshire is very well defended by its population.
We have female open carriers here.
We do.
We do.
And not just a couple of them. Uh-uh. They're, I, it's,
and I've seen 12-year-olds open carrying.
And
here.
Concealed carriers as well.
It's pretty cool. I agree. I think we can take them. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
Ross Ulbricht is serving a double life sentence without parole for all nonviolent charges. He is a first-time offender, and no victims were named at trial. Ross is condemned to die in a cage because he made a website called Silk Road that allowed people to exchange what they chose using Bitcoin as long as no third party was harmed. Please help. Sign and share the petition at freeross.org to commute Ross's sentence and bring him home.
Yes, it is Free Talk Live. The Monday night edition, 603-283-6160 is our telephone number. If you would like to get on the air, talk about whatever's on your mind, join the conversation here. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
It's Ian.
And nobody.
And you can join us and liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 28th through July 4th for ForkFest 2021 at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest happens the week after the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and ForkFest is decentralized, which means no one is in charge. It also means there's no ticket cost. Just reserve your camping, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 28th through July 4th. Where better to celebrate Independence Day than around other freedom-loving activists in the Shire? You can relax and enjoy the camaraderie of like-minded people, or you can create whatever experience or event you would like others to have. If you're planning an event for ForkFest, be sure to let others know in advance. You can connect with fellow ForkFesters via the unofficial Telegram chat or the ForkFest forum. Links to those can be found on the unofficial website, forkfest.party. So mark your calendar for June 28th through July 4th, 2021, and we'll see you at forkfest.party.
Does anybody, is there any culture in the world now that Atlantis has sunk that practices trident throwing? Because that would be a great sport, an event to introduce for ForkFest.
Ooh.
Fork throwing.
Ooh.
Fork flinging.
Yeah. Trident chucking.
Trident chucking.
The trident toss.
I like it. I think it would be fun.
Indeed. Yeah, well, you should go ahead and make that happen, because you can at ForkFest.
It's true.
You can put together whatever event you would like others to have.
It's true.
I say it almost every day when I'm on the radio.
Yeah. Or at least I can try. I haven't found the strippers yet. There's got to be agorist strippers in the world, though.
You would think so.
How is it not? Somewhere.
They haven't made their way to the Shire yet.
Wow. Well, maybe they're listening.
It is fortunate, perhaps, for the purpose of segue, that we were talking about how well-armed folks in the state of New Hampshire may or may not be. Because the Supreme Court apparently is going to decide if police can warrantlessly raid homes and seize guns of innocent citizens.
Really?
All right. What's the case?
This from the Free Thought Project. Last week, the Free Thought Project reported on H.R. 127, the most tyrannical gun bill ever proposed. The bill would target the poor by forcing citizens to pay $800 per year.
Woo!
To possess firearms they are required to register. It also bans multiple legal guns and ammunition types, turning tens of millions of Americans into felons overnight. While this bill is without
is
a doubt...
Is this enough, Boogie Boys? Are you going to come out of the woodwork for this one? Because, you know, it's getting to that point. Are you going to let them arrest you one by one?
I mean, I don't... making you pay $800 per year. And if I understood it correctly, that may even be per gun.
I would not be surprised.
But just for the privilege of owning a thing year after, it's like...
For owning a thing, you have a constitutional right, specified explicitly to own.
Huh. Not to mention, you know, a right as just a human to defend yourself, regardless of any government, you know, magic papers.
Well, I mean, their magic papers don't matter to us, but they're supposed to matter to them.
Yeah, but they don't.
I mean, they don't matter to me specifically because I became an anarchist, and I became an anarchist specifically because I realized that these people were monsters that would never play by their own rules.
Republicans and Democrats alike would much rather use the Constitution as toilet paper and flush it down.
Yep. Both of them.
While this bill is, without a doubt, the worst gun bill in history, it didn't lay out any guidelines for violating a citizen's Fourth Amendment right. Next month, however, the Supreme Court, or as I like to say, the Burrito Supreme Court, will be considering...
It's like a regular Supreme Court with sour cream and onions.
Yes, and extra guacamole. The Burrito Supreme Court...
They get extra guacamole?
Yeah. The Burrito Supreme Court will be considering exactly that. Can cops enter a home to seize guns without a warrant? That escalated quickly. In March, the Supreme Court will hear the case of Coniglia versus Strom, which asks the question of whether
Do they pick these names for having litigants with unique names that will be able to be unique in case? Because what was that name?
Coniglia.
Yeah, right. Nobody's named that.
Caniglia versus
It's almost
Strom,
Caligula.
Strom.
I mean, it's like somebody took Caligula and played with it.
It could easily be Caligula versus Storm instead of
Yes, it could be a portmanteau or a double entendre or whatever it is you do.
Portmanteau?
Yes.
In March, the Supreme Court will hear this case, which asks the question of whether the, quote, community caretaking, unquote, exception to the Fourth Amendment's warrant requirement extends to the home. Are you guys familiar with this?
I don't know what the community caretaking, what was it?
The community caretaker exception has already been recognized as an exception to the Fourth Amendment by the United States Supreme Court in Katie versus Dombrowski. In 1973, the United States Supreme Court
Dombrowski,
held...
come on. Go ahead.
The United States Supreme Court held that police officers did not violate the Fourth Amendment when they searched the trunk of a car that had been towed after an accident. The court acknowledged that, except in certain carefully defined classes of cases, police cannot search private property without consent or a warrant. It emphasized, however, that there is a constitutional difference between houses and cars. And since Katie, there has been a whole host of cases that took this holding and created the doctrine of community caretaking. Cody defined community caretaking activities as those totally divorced from the detection, investigation, or acquisition of evidence relating to the violation of a criminal statute.
So if they prosecute you without evidence... They can do whatever they want?
In other words, as long as an officer might reasonably think that a warrantless search will alleviate a danger to the community, the search is considered constitutional.
Wow. Okay, I think we should go search the houses of the guys who wrote that, because I think they might present a risk to the society. They're passing evil laws.
It's the same thing.
That's
I fear for my life, right? It's like, this might be something that endangers the community. Therefore, I can go ahead and search.
Right. I mean, anything might endanger anybody. Weed is about the safest drug on earth, but you can still trip over a bale of it and break your neck.
While the caretaker exception has long been applied to vehicles, the idea of applying it to homes and allowing cops to seize guns without a warrant is worrisome. In an article from Forbes, the case is explained. Mr. Caniglia was arguing with his wife and melodramatically put an unloaded gun on the table and said, quote, "Shoot me now, get it over with," unquote. His wife called a non-emergency number for the police, who arrived shortly thereafter, surprisingly.
Amazingly didn't kill him, I guess.
The police disagreed about whether Mr. Canigula was acting normal or agitated, but they convinced him to take an ambulance to the local hospital for evaluation. The police did not accompany him. While he was on his way to the hospital, Mrs. Caniglia told the police that her husband kept two handguns in the home. The police decided to search his home for the guns without obtaining a warrant.
They had permission, though.
Did they, or did they
Mrs.
just have Mrs.
Caniglia's consent to have the police search their home was legally negated because the police untruthfully told her that the husband had consented to the seizure of any guns. We'll talk more about this coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
What's our number?
That's our telephone number if you jumble them all around.
Stop. Okay. Hey, I'm agnostic. You want to sit up all night and debate whether or not there's a dog?
Are you a dyslexic agnostic?
I think I am.
All right. No, the actual telephone number is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. We'll get to your calls and thoughts momentarily. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass.
It's Ian.
And who are you?
Nobody.
Oh, nice to meet you, nobody.
Good God, I'm nobody.
I think we've met before.
It's true.
We've been talking about this article from the Free Thought Project, and, well, they're coming for your guns is really the gist
it's
of it.
It's just a bill. Don't worry.
I'm just a bill.
Yes, I'm only a bill.
And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. I think I got the
you remember
that
way too well.
Yeah, I can do all of that's how I memorized the preamble to the Constitution. I know it as a song.
Wow.
I can
That's how I
can
memorized
the
50
whole...
states. There was a song called 50 Nifty United States, and it put all 50 states into song form.
Yeah. See, I memorized them actually the same way, but it was a clip from some historical play about the 1890s that I did. Yeah, Alabama, Alaska, Arizona,
Arkansas, California. That's the one. Yep. That's
Connecticut.
You don't have to do the whole thing. It's incredibly
Florida.
Long. It's incredibly long, and we don't have time for that here on the radio.
Something Hawaii.
Thanks. I do, again, want to say thank you to a different amplifier. This time it's Roderick Gallatin. Speaking of names that come out of nowhere, Roderick Gallatin is also a platinum amplifier.
I wonder if he was a party to the Gallatin Paradox.
I don't know.
That was one of the books of L. Neal Smith.
It doesn't say so here. It just says Roderick Gallatin.
Okay.
Thanks, Roderick. Appreciate it.
He gives $25 a month to the AMP program. You can also contribute by visiting amp.freetalklive.com and help us get this program onto more radio stations because there's not enough of this type of programming. Like,
there
really
isn't.
I mean, yeah, it's tough to find. At any rate, before we continue talking about the horrors that are this Supreme Court's upcoming decision horrors.
They're always horrors.
I wonder if you could...
They just keep prostitution outlawed to limit competition.
What if you had a whorehouse during Halloween? Would it be a horror whorehouse? A horror house?
That could be. That could be.
There are no shows like this one, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
Let's go to David in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Shocking.
Dave's not here.
He's not here, man.
Okay, well, thanks for calling.
Yep, bye, man.
I'm just kidding. What's up? What's on your mind?
Oh, you see, your concept of the cops coming in and getting involved, one test that I've devised, at least for myself, maybe other people have as well, for... You know, people will say, well, what are the alternatives? You know, this there's a dispute going on. We need the government to come in and interfere and referee and save people. And so then what I do is I ask myself, well, if the government didn't exist or wasn't available, then what would happen? Because at some point in history, there wasn't a modern police force to come to your assistance. There wasn't a
state-of-the-art
government to help you. What happened to those people? Did they all just perish from the earth because there wasn't a government or wasn't a police force to come and save them? And so flowchart for yourself, what might be the alternatives? What might happen if the cops weren't available to interject themselves into that situation, et cetera, et cetera? And then you start to discover that you have to be proactive and defend yourself, and you start to find out that what you would be forced to do because there's nobody to come save you is actually less of a negative than the negative of having the cops come in and do that little scheme that that you just laid out and all the other ones that we've gotten ourselves involved in. And the other concept attached to that is when you interject an artificial outside force, then there is the domino effect of the fact that this new artificial outside force comes in and affects things. It then affects the next thing, and that affects the next thing. And you have this whole chain of negative events that would not exist if the outside forces didn't come in, if you just handled it in a natural manner. You don't have near the chain of dominoes as you do with this outside force.
Well, the Tao Te Ching says that when the mosquito lands on your private parts, you will learn there is a nonviolent solution to every situation.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, David. We appreciate it. You know, I learned something today.
That book is full of wisdom. Check it out.
Thanks, Stan.
All right. So the case we've been talking about has been making its way through the courts, with the courts ruling in favor of warrantless searches, sadly. The federal courts just below the Supreme Court, the First Circuit
Court.
Hold on,
can we recap what the case is for people just tuning in here?
What did any of that mean, bro?
It's the Coniglia versus Strom.
Oh, the Caligula dude.
Yeah, where they are expanding their warrantless searches as being constitutional for more than just the trunk of your car. Now they want to say that, they can do it to your home or to anywhere if there might be danger to the community.
So, but what happened in the case was this guy loaded a gun, put it on the counter with his wife, had a fight with her, said, "Go ahead and shoot him," basically.
Said, "Shoot me now,
she
get it over."
She called
the
cops.
Right.
Ever call the cops. This is what happens when you call the cops.
The police decided to search the home for the guns without a warrant. Mrs. Caniglia's consent to have the police search their home was legally negated because the police untruthfully told her that the husband had consented to the seizure of any guns. The police located and seized the two guns. Mr. Caniglia sued for the violation of his Fourth Amendment right to privacy and his Second Amendment right to keep handguns in the home for self-protection.
Okay, thank you.
This case has been making its way through the courts, with the courts ruling in favor of warrantless searches. The federal court just below the Supreme Court, the First Circuit Court of Appeals, ruled that this is fine and dandy for cops to warrantlessly search your home and take your guns because they need, quote, elbow room, unquote, to provide safety. At its core, the community...
Okay, they're providing safety? Because that doesn't sound like safety to me. That's safety is when I'm protected from people violating my rights.
Right, and who is in danger
like
here?
People violating my rights.
This guy told his wife to shoot him. He wasn't threatening to shoot her.
Right.
Maybe she was going to shoot him.
No, she called the cops.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. So she wasn't going to shoot him. He obviously wasn't going to shoot her. She wasn't the one he wanted dead.
Right. Now, at its core, the community caretaking doctrine is designed to give police elbow room to take appropriate action when unforeseen circumstances present some transient hazard that requires immediate attention. Understanding the core purpose of the doctrine leads inexorably to the conclusion.
This guy was in the hospital. How were those guns a hazard? I think the wife was going to whack somebody. That's the only way the guns would be a hazard. Otherwise, they're not going to get up and do anything on their own.
Well, and they're saying it should not be limited to the motor vehicle context. Threats to individual and community safety are not confined to the highways, the court wrote. As Forbes points out, unlike the exigent circumstances and emergency aid exceptions, the community caretaking exception is not limited to circumstances where there is no time to apply for a warrant. And the question of what sort of caretaking falls under this exception is extremely vague. Will the police be able to use it to, for example, conduct warrantless searches of political protesters' homes to make sure they aren't planning on violent behavior at the next political rally?
That's definitely something they would try.
President Biden has already labeled tens of millions of Americans who supported the pro-Trump rally in D.C. as terrorists. So you can see...
They better start building some prisons.
Yeah. Well...
Oh, they've already got camps. They're called FEMA camps, and they've got lots of plastic coffins. Well, a lot of people have seen them.
Camp COVID, and of course, I mean, the United States of America imprisons more people than any other country on the planet.
I think most of these Americans would willingly walk right into them, too. They were told to.
We are just about out of time. Thank you for tuning in and listening. If you missed any of our show tonight or any other episode, visit feeds.freetalklive.com for our podcast, or just freetalklive.com for all of your Free Talk Live needs. Thanks. Peace.
As you may recall, we last left Jonathan Gullible on a remote Pacific island after his boat was blown far off course by a terrific storm. Eager to learn about the inhabitants of this island, Jonathan was wandering the streets of a town and came across a large red brick building. Hearing the noises of machinery inside, he turned to a passerby and asked,
"Does this building house a printing press for an island newspaper?"
"Printing press, yes, but not for a newspaper. This is the official Bureau of Money Creation. We print up lots of money in order to make people happy."
"I would also like to print money if it would make people happy."
"Oh, that is out of the question. Freelance money printers are called counterfeiters and thrown into our zoo."
"Why?"
"Well, you see, when counterfeiters print up money and spend it, this robs the value of other people's money, wages, savings, and pensions. The money becomes worthless."
"But I thought you said that printing up lots of money makes people happy."
"This is true if it is official money printing. If it is official money printing, then we call this monetary policy, and it is perfectly legal. Those who spend the money are not robbers, they are politicians. And lots of people are happy when the politicians spend money on them."
"But didn't you say that money printing robs the value of wages, savings, and pensions?"
"The people who lose wages, savings, and pensions are often ignorant of the good that comes from politicians spending their wealth. But maybe they are happy too. After all, ignorance is bliss."
Build freedom with laughter. Join the community. Access free media clips and more. Or get your free PDF copy of the book. Go to jonathangullible.com now. jonathangullible.com.
There are basically two types of advertising: direct response and branding. Radio is great for direct response with its low cost to listener ratio, but audio can't be beat for branding, which is a longer term endeavor. You want to be the first thing that someone thinks of when they think about your product or service. If you have a local business that you want kept top of mind in your community, call the station. If you need national reach, Free Talk Live's got around 200 radio stations, millions of monthly listening sessions, can suit all budgets, and if we don't think we're right for you, we'll tell you. Email me, mark@freetalklive.com.
This is a Corona Crisis Self-Reliance Alert. If you're worried about the power grid in the current crisis and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electrical power, just in case, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited supply of solar backup generators will be available again in the next 2 weeks. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you get off the grid. And unlike gas generators, these solar generators run quietly, emit no fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Dangerous weather, social unrest, or overloaded grids this summer will not be a problem if you go to mysolarbackup.com and get your solar backup generator. We regret that supplies are limited and only available on a first-come, first-served basis. Check availability at mysolarbackup.com. Never suffer painful power outages again. Go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com.